Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing? How's your internet?
It's fantastic. It's probably the cold weather. The pipes down here aren't used to it. They're probably frozen.
The internet pipes?
Exactly.
You gotta thaw those internet pipes.
They're tubes, Robbie. They're not like a big truck.
Thaw those internet tubes. Get to work.
I will attempt to. I'll get my blowtorch out after we're done here.
Yeah, exactly. Before we get started, I would like to mention, as I do every episode, if you like the show, please rate, review, subscribe on iTunes or your podcatcher of choice. I know it seems like a very dumb thing, but it really does alter how iTunes like sorts us, etc. So it really helps get new people to see us, and we definitely want that. Before we get into this week's episode, a couple things from last week. The car that Homer drove in The Way We Was is a Plymouth Roadrunner. This is by superfan Chris. Let us know on Facebook. Thank you very much, Chris. Also, yeah, we had mentioned Dazed and Confused briefly. It's also a film from the early 90s that was set in the 70s. One of our listeners also posted a picture on Facebook. He teaches in the in one of the classrooms that the film was shot in. And he posted a screen cap from the movie and a shot of his classroom comparing the two. It's really neat. You guys, that's what you guys are missing out if you don't follow us on Facebook. All these cool things, all our listeners are great and post really interesting things. So, that's facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. If you want to follow us there. On to this week's episode. It is Homer vs. Lisa and the Eighth Commandment. Episode 7F13 was written by Steve Papoon. His only episode he ever wrote. And it won an Emmy. So I guess, you know, go out on top.
I hope he asks for more money next time.
Yeah, I know. The next one. I only wrote one Simpsons episode and it won an Emmy. You know, not saying anything, but...
He went out on top.
Yeah, exactly. He's worked on a lot of television afterwards. Directed by Rich Moore. Originally aired February 7th, 1991. Finished 25th in the ratings. Nielsen rating of 15.2. Approximately 14 million homes. Highest rated program on Fox that week. The chalkboard gag. I will not make flatulent noises in class.
See, now that's ambiguous. Is it all flatulent noises, or are they telling him not to actually fart in class? Because if you're just making noises, I mean, what's the harm? It's not like it's an actual fart. Come on now.
I don't know. Again, this is not really, this is the school of, let's just try and make something that Bart would actually maybe have to write. Not necessarily a joke. Which, they've gone back and forth in this season, I think. At near the end, they kind of just go, let's just write jokes.
Yeah, pretty much.
The couch gag is an Egyptian sort of dance, and then they jump on the couch and do like a little ta-da kind of thing. Like I mentioned, the show did win an Emmy for the second year in a row for outstanding animated primetime shows less than an hour long.
That is a very specific category.
The Emmys get very specific. But I don't know. What was the other animated shows in primetime that it was competing with?
I don't know of any, to be honest with
you. Yeah, exactly. But it won.
Yay! So
it's probably won many in that category. This is also the first appearance of Troy McClure. So we get return of Phil Hartman, who does multiple voices. Let's see. Episode starts with a very far flashback to Mount Sinai, 1220 BC, where we see Homer the Thief talking with, what is it, Zoltar the Adulterer, and who? Some guy making graven images.
Of course.
Yeah, and it's really just a little kind of almost sets the stage for this whole episode. It kind of foreshadows everything, showing Homer as, you know, as the thief, and they're talking about, you know, what Zoltar's at. You know, Homer talks about Zoltar and his wife. I think Zoltar actually is that Jacques with a beard?
Yes, that is the exact same model.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it's Jacques with a beard, which makes perfect sense. But then Moses comes down, gives the Ten Commandments. Who is Phil Hartman? Is the voice of Moses?
Well, he's the voice of God. Now he's the voice of
he's working his Moses. Way through the Bible. He's gonna make it. Cut to back to Springfield present day. Homer's in a hammock, when he hears Flanders quite angry, a little bit out of character for Flanders, berating a cable guy.
Well, he was a sneaky Pete, man. He offered him free cable, relatively free.
$50.
Hey, compared to how much cable actually costs, that's quite the deal.
That is quite a deal. Sneaky Pete. I love that that's a Flanders insult. Like,
and he threatened to box his ears, which I don't think anyone's threatened to box anybody's ears in 50 years.
But that's really bad. That could kill someone, potentially.
Yeah, potentially.
The cable guy is also Phil Hartman. So, Phil Hartman, we got Moses, cable guy, and then in a bit, Troy McClure. But Homer asks why Ned is so angry. Ned reveals why, because the cable guy was trying to give him free cable, basically, to, you know, he's going to give me $50 under the table. You get free cable. I'll give you, hook you up. Homer, hearing that, immediately runs out in front of the truck, almost gets run over.
He does technically get a little bit run over.
He does. He doesn't actually get hit, but he falls down and the truck goes over him a bit. Hearing that he could get free cable for, cable for $50, he goes and gets the cable guy, and the cable guy's like, yeah, sure. Homer has a kind of a pang of guilt, but the cable guy gives them a pamphlet. We've already mentioned, I think, last week and the week before. So you've decided to steal cable. It dispels certain myths about stealing cable, how the giant corporations are evil and they're faceless. And so there's not a problem with stealing from them. Basically the same premise people use to steal movies and music now is they're exactly. Giant faceless corporations. Who cares?
Except for indie artists. If you steal from indie artists, you're a terrible person. You will go to hell.
All right, Lisa. but I think, and they even mentioned that, like in, one of the writers mentioned that that's why they tried to make this like the morally gray stealing possible. Like you're stealing from a company that makes millions and millions of dollars.
With terrible customer service.
Yeah, with terrible customer service, it's hard to feel bad about it. And also, with the fact that they get hooked up with cable, we get a good excuse to show multiple TV parodies. So, cable's hooked up. Homer triumphantly shows the family, like, look what we have now. We have cable.
Homer, can we afford this? Nothing a month? Yeah, I think we can swing that.
Swing nothing a month. Marge is, as Marge can be, a little hesitant about something that is, I mean, she's not wrong. It is stealing. He shows her Hear Me Roar, the network for women. I guess this is before Lifetime existed. And Marge catches a glimpse of a show about making your own Band-Aids, and she's hooked immediately.
Which, to be fair, is not cost effective at all. Don't do it, guys.
I know, that doesn't seem, I mean, I guess it's Marge, so I think, doesn't she at a certain point make her own Coke?
It's a little thick, but the price is right.
Yeah, that's right. Then Homer and the family go on a marathon of watching television, which lasts, as far as I can tell, a good part of 24 hours. And it's full of clips of like movies and parodies and stuff like that. We pulled this whole thing and we'll play it for you right now.
El Mumeo lo pone en el sleeper hold. ¿Dónde están los médicos de México?
Ooh, pro wrestling from Mexico. You know, down there, it's a real sport.
Oh, cool. This is where Jaws eats the boat. Whoa, this is where Die Hard jumps through the window. This is where Wall Street gets arrested.
Mr. Speaker, if I could call your attention to the retroactive subsidy appropriations override bill, I refer you to page 4500.
They must think people will watch anything.
Live from New Orleans, this is the World Series of Cockfighting. Oh, son of a gun, we'll have big fun on the bayou tonight.
We'd get there quicker if I drove my dad's car.
I don't know, Davies.
Aren't you ready for church, Homer?
Huh? What? Oh, okay.
So we get Bart exclaiming about Jaws and Die Hard and Wall Street.
And calling the characters by the name of the movie.
Yes, Die Hard is Die Hard's about to shoot somebody. Wall Street's about to get arrested.
Yeah, exactly.
Homer is watching C-SPAN, apparently. It's hard to say, but that's what it sounds like. And World Series of Cockfighting. It's also great. Who doesn't love the World Series of Cockfighting? Homer is just sitting there for a day. And Marge comes to tell him, oh, it's time to go to church. And we do see this. Homer has to pull himself out of the couch for a sighting of, like, I think this is the first time we've seen the actual ass groove.
That's true. It becomes very important later on.
Yeah, it's
Bart Carney.
Bart Carney. Okay, so yeah, we most notably in Bart Carney. We go to church. We see Lisa, most notably Lisa and Bart in Sunday school. The teacher is to finally teach them about hell, which Bart is very excited about.
Well, he wants to know where he's going.
Yeah, if there's pirates in hell. And she's like, thousands!
Which sounds pretty awesome to Bart.
Yeah,
to be fair,
you know, thousands of pirates. But, and she also goes over the Ten Commandments, most notably, thou shalt not steal, which Lisa is worried about. She is concerned for her family. We cut back to the house, and the pets are sleeping in the ass groove, which I think is hilarious. And Homer sits back down. The family starts watching television again. We see Troy McClure for the first time. Obviously he's great. They obviously said, whoa, Phil Hartman, let's get more roles for him.
Everyone loves this guy. Let's make him everyone who's not Hank Azaria or Dan Castellaneta.
Exactly. He's on an infomercial, with Dr. Nick. So they're like, Phil Hartman's in an episode. We have to have Dr. Nick. But I just love, we get an image similar to, There's No Disgrace Like Home. Similar to that when Homer is about to get into the car and he sees them all as devils and on fire. Lisa sees a very similar thing with the living room suddenly engulfed in flames, the couch surrounded by fire, and all of them, and the family coaxing her to join them on the couch, and suddenly there's the devil there, and yeah, they're going to pay for this with her souls.
Why don't you watch a little cable with us? It won't cost you anything except your soul.
Yeah. Harry Shearer. You can see it's Harry Shearer doing that voice. You can hear a little Monty Burns in there. But with that, we go to an act break. Commercial.
And when we come back, we come to Marge and Lisa doing a little grocery shopping. You know, something parents do with their kids. And Marge, doing what she normally does, grabs a grape or two and just pops them in her mouth. And Lisa calls her out on this. And Marge, probably not even knowing what she's doing, doesn't realize. She's like, oh, it's just a couple of grapes, whatever. And in a great move, Lisa asks her, don't you remember the Eighth Commandment? And Marge says, something covet, thou shalt not, something about coveting.
Coveting.
Which I think makes us realize that Marge hasn't been to Sunday school in a very long time either. And then Lisa screams at her, thou shalt not steal.
Yeah, it like echoes.
And everyone in the grocery store turns around and looks at them. And throughout all this, everyone ignores Jimbo stuffing fruit into a parka.
He's like he's in several shots in this too. Like he's in the background of the Quickie Mart doing the same thing.
Basically, stealing is the underground economy of Springfield. So, of course, when they get to the front, completely guilted by Lisa, Marge asks the clerk to bring her for two grapes. And the clerk is a typical surly male. He is like, come on, lady, two grapes? Who cares? In a great Brooklyn accent that has no place in Springfield, but whatever. And what the clerk says is fantastic. He goes in the intercom and asks, you got a price check on two grapes? Yeah, you heard me, Phil. Two measly stinking grapes. And of course, Marge is mortified by this, and Lisa gives her a hesitant smile.
She's like, thank you. Before we go any further, Matt, I know they tried to make this as like nefarious as possible. The stealing.
Oh, the stealing of cable in general? Yeah.
Yeah. But really? Two grapes? Lisa? People pick on The Simpsons as being very, gray morally. Like, that's, I mean, especially early on, like, that was the big thing. Like, they're corrupting your children. But this is, like, almost going too far in the opposite way. You could try and be more balanced about it.
And when they come home, Lisa decides to talk to Homer about the stealing she's seen. And she actually refers to Springfield as a cesspool of corruption. And Homer, doing a fantastic bit of equivocating, was like, well, did you pay for those shoes you're wearing? Did you pay for the breakfast you ate this morning? We'll run for the hills, Ma Barker, before I call the feds. And Lisa calls him out, so that's pretty spurious. And Homer, of course, not understanding what spurious means, says, thank you, honey. And, of course, right at that moment, we see a commercial for Tatum versus...
It doesn't matter what the other guy's actual name is. Like, his name is The Simpsons. I don't think... They mention it one time, and I don't think it ever comes back.
So a commercial comes on for the upcoming amazing boxing fight, which is obviously, you know, a Mike Tyson analog of Dredrick Tatum. And they're going to be showing it on the Blockbuster channel, which is totally not an HBO ripoff.
No,
not at all.
Not at all.
Absolutely not. So we cut to Homer at the power plant the next day in the showers, because I guess you need to shower at a power plant to get all that new nuclear radiation off of you.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
And Lenny and Carl are talking about the fight. Like, oh man, you want to listen to round-by-round updates on the radio? And then we can go to the bar and watch the still photos in the 11 o'clock news. Which is just, oh god, life before the internet.
Yeah, life before the internet.
But then Homer pipes up and says, oh yeah, we could do that. Or we could watch it live on cable TV in my house. And they, of course, get excited. And then we pull back to see Mr. Burns watching them with sound on the security monitor, which is more than a little creepy.
That's, well, it's Burns.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing Burns would do. But he is talking to Smithers and says that, I'd love to see the fight. It's one of those occasions where I like to hear the, Marissa, see the sights and hear the sounds and, yes, even the smells of other men, which is, again, disturbing, but it's Burns,
I like. I like it.
And then we continue. Homer, walking around town, he stops by Moe's and says, you know, hey, I got the fight. You should come over. He goes to the Quickie Mart and offers to Apu to come by when he's buying his giant case of beer. And Apu's like, no, that's cool. And then he mentions it, the fight, and Apu's eyes get really big. And he's like, oh, the fight, of course. I'll get Sanjay to watch the store if I can have the fight or want to see the fight. Once Homer is done telling everybody in town to come over to his house to watch the fight, because he's the only person in town with cable, we cut to Lisa and Reverend Lovejoy, and we've actually pulled this clip because it's an adorable conversation, and we're going to play it for you now.
So even if a man takes bread to feed his starving family, that would be stealing?
No. Well, it is if he puts anything on it. Jelly, for example.
I see.
Well, come on, Lisa. Now you're here for a reason. Is your father stealing bread?
Maybe. I don't watch him every minute. But what I am sure of is we're getting cable for free.
Well, I'm afraid that is stealing, Lisa. And I think you must do something.
Should I have my father arrested?
Well, Lisa, on the surface, that would appear to be an ideal solution to the problem. But remember the fifth commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother. Lisa, I would like to see you set an example by not watching the offending technology yourself.
Thank you, Reverend Lovejoy.
So there we have Lisa and Reverend Lovejoy talking about what is and isn't stealing. And apparently, if you steal bread for your starving family, not stealing. It's just, you know, you trying to provide. But if you put something on it, that means you spent money that you could have spent on bread on something like jelly, and therefore you're a terrible person, you're going to hell.
Yeah, Lovejoy, I always loved Lovejoy's, like, splitting hairs about what is a sin and what isn't a sin.
Yeah, have you ever read the Bible? Technically, we're not supposed to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, exactly.
So, they decide to come up with a way for Lisa to show, what she's gonna do without, you know, getting her father arrested. So, and a surprisingly apt bit of advice, Reverend Lovejoy tells her, why don't you just be the person who doesn't watch the TV? You know, it's obviously stealing, and if you don't watch it, maybe someone will follow your example. And oddly enough, he turns out to be right, but we haven't gotten quite there yet. No. We cut to Bart at home watching Top Hat Entertainment, which is totally not the Playboy Channel.
Totally not the Playboy Channel.
Yeah. And, of course, right as it starts, right as it gets to the good part, Homer walks in on Bart, which, how did he not think he was going to get caught watching that on the TV in the living room? I mean, seriously.
Yeah, exactly. Like, at least wait until your parents are asleep.
Right? And do it late at night least. Or something?
Yeah, that's the only time you're even going to think about getting away with that.
Homer starts watching TV, and he sees Lisa and invites her to watch, and she pulls one of the greatest lines and says, "Sorry, I'd rather go to heaven."
Talk about
right through the heart.
Okay. This bothers me. I am Homer Simpson. I am 34 years old. I work hard every day. Theoretically. Okay. I know Homer doesn't work.
Theoretically.
Hard. Theoretically. He's a working man, right? Your 8-year-old daughter starts to get sanctimonious on you. Like, sorry, I'd rather go to heaven.
Well, I mean, yes, in this particular case, it's a little hefty, but I mean, a lot of times you have your kids there to remind you of, you know, the lessons that you've taught them. Then a lot of times it's hard to grasp the concept of something until someone says it back to you. You may even be the one that told them that, but then when someone parrots it back to you, you're like, did I say that? Oh, I guess you're right. I did say that. Maybe I should, you know, actually do it. So I can kind of see it having an effect on Homer, and I actually think the way they did her here is really great because he doesn't agree with her right away. He just, you can see it, you know, tick in the back of his head. He's like, ah, oh, she doesn't understand. I work hard, like you said, and it doesn't immediately make him stop watching it, but you can see, which is weird for Homer, you can see the gears in his head. They're old, they're creaky, they're not oiled very well, but they do start to turn a little bit at that point.
Come back to this.
Okay. And then we cut to Homer and Marge in bed, and Marge, she is basically, she's a little worried about what's going on, and she references Bart, watching that racy movie, and she sees that Lisa is losing a little bit of respect for her father, which, surprisingly, she does have, and obviously Lisa wants what's best for him in her, you know, childlike way, but Homer is adamant. At this point, he's like, no, absolutely not. This cable has been nothing but a good thing. And he literally puts his foot down, like gets out of bed, puts one foot on the ground and stomps.
But I really like that shot because the camera, he steps on the camera, basically.
Exactly. His foot comes down on the camera and just cuts out the light, quote unquote.
Yeah. For the commercial. I think it's really great. In response to Lisa saying that's the heaven thing. I understand his frustration to all this.
Yeah, it's basically, he wants something good. Like you said, he does work. He works all day. I mean, even if he doesn't work very hard, he still has to go to work every day. And this is the one thing that he thinks brings joy into his life. So, I can see him reacting like that, absolutely.
Yeah. When we come back from the commercial, Homer is watching television. Of course, and suddenly the cable guy just shows up in his house. He's like, how'd you get in here? Oh, there's, what did he, what was his line?
Says, your door wasn't locked in any serious manner.
In any serious manner. And he's trying to sell him a obviously stolen car stereo at a severe discount. Or he's like, get out. I don't want to do any criminal activity or something along those lines. But then we see that Homer is now suddenly putting locks on, like, 5 deadbolts on the door and putting bars on all the windows.
He's very nervous about all his other thieves who are stealing more important things.
Yeah, and now we get to Bart charging for people to watch the Top Hat channel, the Playboy channel, basically.
Which hold on, I have a question here. Was there ever a point when there was a channel like that that you didn't have to pay extra for?
It was a premium channel like HBO. Like you had to specify. Huh. It's an extra charge on an addition to your basic cable, just like HBO would be, and it's on top of everything. Like it wouldn't be included in a package as far as I know. But if he was getting free everything, then I guess I could see it being included in that, just like a total.
That's
feed
probably true. Because when I was growing up, if my parents were watching, please stop listening. All the porn, or Playboy Network, really, it was on a pay-per-view, so you had to pay for each individual thing. But I guess if you're right, if he hooked him up with everything, then, you know, it probably just, you know, doesn't matter to them. Anyway, proceed.
Yeah, but all the kids, so all the boys are watching, including Dolph, Jimbo, Kearney, Milhouse, Nelson, Bart, like every named male, young male character, and several, and many unnamed, are watching broadcast nudes. And then Homer, you know, shows up, they all run out, and he's up totally angry at Bart, you know, told him Bart, and he had made Bart promise earlier in the episode to not watch it anymore, and Bart's obviously already gone back on it. So this stuff is piling up. It's kind of weighing on Homer. Like, Marge is upset. Lisa obviously is totally against it. Bart is breaking his promise, watching this stuff. He's watching the Playboy channel for, Top Hat Entertainment. Homer still, you know, he's excited about the boxing match, having a lot of people over, being kind of important. I think that's also part of it. Like, being one of the guys with Cable, like, this is another thing, like, this show could not exist at this time. Like, I know that The Simpsons have done more recent episodes about, like, piracy and internet and stuff like that, but it doesn't mean the same thing like this did, because just the fact that stealing cable, like, there was a physical, like, someone had to come and install it. Like, it's a more visceral physical connection.
It is. It's funny, though. I think one of the things, this is going to be a little somewhat political, so if you don't care, fast forward, whatever. But it's one of those things where this is absolutely piracy. It's not really stealing, because no one is harmed by Homer having cable except for the cable company. It's not like he's taking something from somebody else. He's just getting access to, you know, a stream that he wouldn't normally have. So yes, the cable company's missing out on, you know, the revenue that he could be providing, but it's not like he is taking somebody else's cable. So it's still surprisingly relevant.
Yeah, it's he even had that discussion earlier in the episode about him and Marge in bed, and he's like, I can't afford it. When I can't afford it, I will pay for it, but I can't afford it. So right now I'm just going to get it for free. And that still applies. That discussion is still going on to this day. Of course, there's also the questions of access, and I don't think we should try and launch into a discussion about piracy, in our Simpsons podcast, but it's interesting that, like, something that aired in 1981 still does have some...
91?
I didn't... What did I say?
You said 81.
Oh, okay. And something aired in 1991 is still relevant, at least. Like, the topic is still relevant. But everyone's showing up. Everyone's coming over for fight night. Barney brings an imported generic beer. I think it's called Brau? Yeah, that's Brau.
It's totally a German beer, right?
Yeah, a German beer, Brau. But you kind of see, like, they start interspersing shots of the boxing broadcast, which is Dredrick Tatum, who is Mike Tyson. I mean, versus what a guy that looks like, who is Marvin Hagler, who's a boxer, very famous one. And they kind of parody that famous kind of the showdown before the match, the airing of them training and running in the snow, whatever. But we start to see Homer, like, the theft bring up again and again and again. Like, first Mo comes over, and he's like, oh, wait. He has to hide all the glasses, the mugs he's stolen from Mo's over the years. And then Mo comes in and gives him another one for free.
Hey, I've always wanted one of these.
Yeah. And then the same thing happens again with Burns. Burns comes over and he's like, oh, I need to hide all the office supplies I've stolen from the plant.
Borrowed. Hey, borrowed.
Yeah, borrowed. And Bart's like, what do you mean, Bart? He's like, no, stolen. He's like, okay. Then he helps.
You see, I mean, he's got a whole bunch of pencils and pens and pads and all that sort of thing. And then there's a computer. Like, I don't think anyone would care about the pencils and pens or whatever, but if you take a computer from work, you're probably going to get in some serious trouble.
Yeah. Especially then. I mean, computers were really expensive in 1991.
And barely did anything, so why would you want one in your house?
Yeah, especially. And in fact, they never even mentioned it. But... like, it's important that Bart is important to himself, that he points out Homer's hypocrisy, especially after Homer doesn't allow him to watch, you know, Top Hat Entertainment. Then Eddie and Lou show up, you know, and they, he, and they're like, oh, we heard you have illegal cable. And Homer's immediately like blaming everyone but himself, Marge in particular.
Seriously, why don't you just say, oh no, it's not illegal. I totally pay for this. I mean, like the cops are going to check.
Yeah, what are they going to do? Grab an invoice somewhere? But they're like, no, we just want to watch the match. Like, we just want to watch the fight. He's like, oh, okay. Yeah, come on in. So, you know, they're all in there. At this point, Marge and Maggie had joined Lisa out in the front lawn, or Lisa's announced that she is protesting and not watching. She's going to sit outside on the front lawn. Marge has brought her lemonade. Homer is, you know, he's looking out the front window and seeing Lisa just standing there staring, which I think that's really funny to me. She's just kind of just staring at him blankly.
It's like she doesn't have to do anything. He knows what he's doing is wrong, and all she has to do is remind him of that.
He gets a vision of himself in prison, like the bars in front of the windows of the house, like seem like prison bars to him for a second. He feels like he's in a jail cell. And at this point, he's like, oh, okay. He kind of just, he grabs Bart, goes out of the front lawn. This is my favorite part of the episode. We've pulled this clip. It's great. Here it is.
Excuse me. I hate to interrupt your judging me, but I wanted you to know I've made a couple of really important decisions. Number one, I'm cutting the cable as soon as the fight's over. And number two, I'm not very fond of any of you.
Well, back to the fight.
Get on, boy.
Dad, we may have saved your soul.
Tatum is reeling from the chance exquisite haymaker.
Yeah, at the worst possible time.
Homer is, he knows he's wrong. He is, you know, changing his ways. He's going to cut the cable after the fight's over, but he's still angry. I think that's my favorite part. That he's like, why did you have to do this? Why did you have to ruin this for me? Why did you have to point out that it's wrong? To Marge and Lisa in particular. Bart is fine with going back in and watching. He makes him, he kind of does what Marge and Lisa did to him and like strong arms Bart to stay out on the lawn. And he's forced to basically sit out there and watch everyone enjoy the fight without watching it. So he's even more tortured.
Poor Homer.
And we see all the guys inside going crazy, celebrating. It's a 12th round knockout. They all celebrate. Pooh offers everyone at the Quickie Mart and get free.
Squishies and microwave burritos?
Blue squishies and microwave burritos. Everyone's apparently very excited about that. Burns makes a comment about watching a fight between an Eskimo and... Oh, who the hell is it? It's such a weird reference. Gentleman Jim Corbett and an Eskimo fellow. In like 115 rounds. Anything shorter than what? 55 rounds?
50 rounds. They demand their nickel back.
But they're all marching off happy. And Bart, not Bart, Homer is upset that he's sad that he missed all this. They all enjoyed kind of the camaraderie of watching this great fight on cable. He missed out and he sullenly takes the, wire cutters from Marge, climbs the pole,
okay. I want to make this clear. As someone who is an electrical engineer, don't ever do this, please, dear God. Because seriously, the lines that are up there are either power lines or cable lines. And if you're lucky, it's a cable line, which is stupid. You could just disconnect that at your house. If it's a power line, that is before the transformer and is probably close to like 12,000 volts. You will die. Don't do this, please.
So, yeah.
Especially since once he cuts it, power goes out to other people. So obviously he's cutting power lines. He would be dead.
Yeah, do not do what Homer did. He cuts power to, but first one side of the street and then the other. And then finally he cuts the actual cable and we cut to static, which like, I like that. That's a nice little reference. Like, but regardless, I do like the fact that him cutting the cable ends the episode with, us cutting to static. Like, he cut the feed.
Which is just a great way to end the episode.
Yeah, I was kind of upset about the Lisa saying, sorry, I'd rather go to heaven. I think, I'm upset at that because I think that all this stuff in the third act, like Homer having to hide all this stuff they've stolen from Moe's and work, being feeling guilty about the cops showing, and especially being upset about Bart watching the Playboy channel, like, you know, watching porn, softcore porn. Like, that, I think, is more impactful. Like, that's showing, not telling.
Well, it is. I feel like, one, you're focusing on that line a lot, and two, that is exactly the kind of sanctimonious, holier-than-thou tone that a child with absolute certainty of their moral high ground would say. I mean, yeah. That's typically not Lisa's character, but she knows she's right, and she's trying to have the biggest effect on Homer.
Yeah,
essentially she's playing him.
It may be the fact that it doesn't feel like... I mean, later on, Lisa is... She becomes Buddhist, you know, and she kind of doesn't necessarily, like, cotton to Lovejoy's way of preaching. Like, you know, she's kind of just... She's ethically good, but not necessarily dogmatic to any certain religion.
Exactly.
And it feels, I don't know, a little bit out of character for her to be quoting, you know, the Bible and stuff like that. It feels right from, like, an ethical point of view. Like, I agree with her that, yes, Homer is, you know, quote-unquote stealing Cable, even though it's piracy, but regardless. The fact that she comes at it through, like, worrying about them going to hell, it just, I guess, early on in the show, it doesn't really matter. It just, knowing what happens later on with Lisa and how she necessarily views most kind of religious institutions, it feels out of place.
It does. I think in the early episodes like this, they were still trying to hew to that, everybody's, it's a white Christian world out there. And then eventually once the show is established, they kind of branch off a little more from that. But this early on, they were trying to have a commonality with their viewers. And the easiest way to make Lisa moral would be to tie it into something that most of their viewers, who at the time, I'm sure, skewed heavily, you know,
white Christian.
White and young, exactly, would identify with.
Yeah, plus it's an easy way to introduce it to the plot without having to, like, what other way could she, like, learn and see that stealing is bad? And stuff like that. So it makes sense. It stood out to me. There's a reason I didn't put a lot of, like, I don't necessarily write quotes down in our notes. I think I wrote "You Sneaky Pete" as well.
Yeah.
But other than that, it stood out to me in that way. Anything specific you want to mention? Did we miss anything?
The fact that Phil Hartman basically played the most bit characters ever in this and still killed it and was amazing.
Yeah, Troy McClure is great. You don't see a lot of Troy McClure in this, just a little bit. But, I mean, just seeing this wants me to, I'm ready for, you know, A Fish Called Selma and all the other Troy McClure appearances.
I can't wait.
Yeah. But, this is it's a very solid episode. Very good. It won the Emmy. I don't know why it won the Emmy when it is. We had the same season as Bart Gets an F for The Way We Was. Both of those certainly deserve an Emmy more than this one. It's still it's a good episode, solid one. And we'll rank it at the end of the show. First, nothing from the news group this week, guys. It vanished. There's nothing from this week for like 2 weeks after almost.
Somebody said something they weren't supposed to.
It's weird. If you guys listen to X-Files Files with Kumail Nanjiani, comedian, I would definitely recommend that. So even if you don't like the X-Files, it's very interesting. Especially, he's done the same thing, because X-Files also had a really heavily active newsgroup community. And there's weeks missing from when he's done it as well. So I don't know if it's some kind of archival problem, just like when Google was trying to pull all this information and port it over to their new servers, stuff got banished, I don't know. I don't think there's anything nefarious about it. I think it's just, you know.
Are you trying to tell me it's not the NSA? They did something about the commentary on this episode, and they were like, nope, can't reveal that.
I don't think so.
Okay.
But with that, time for listener question of the week. This week's question was, what is your favorite flashback episode and why? You guys, again, I say it every week, but great job. Love the response. I love, this week we had a lot of different answers, and even some answers I didn't really think about, which is always my favorite. My favorite ones a lot of the time are the ones I go, oh yeah, that one, that counts. Like, I didn't really even consider it. I'm like, yeah, that is a flashback episode. You're right. But first, let's see. We got Twitter, Victor at Parenza Books. And Maggie Makes Three. The ending is fantastic, and it's funny to see how Homer loses his hair, which I'm not even sure if that's – he's lost his hair. I don't know what's canon anymore to how Homer went bald. But that's my headcanon about Homer's baldness, is that he ripped it out.
Absolutely.
John at Chapel Style 311, Homer's Barbershop Quartet. It's like watching a biography of the Beatles, if the Beatles have been a one-hit wonder. Which B-Sharp's episode is, that is a flashback. I didn't even think about it. Justin at Jaquan Fu and Maggie Makes Three. I'm not sure if it counts, but I love it simply for the collage of Maggie at the end tier. Jordan at JScott1028 and Maggie Makes Three, playing the boss's head like a bongo, marketing campaign, and best quote ever. New job! Marge is pregnant! yeah. Kevin, KPoy2, best flex. Best flashback episode, that 90s show, Homer's band Sadgasm invents grunge, guitar rock utilizing nihilist grunge energy. Onto Facebook, Aaron B, and Maggie Makes Three, hands down, without a doubt, numero uno, undisputed best flashback ever. If you don't get a little watery at Do It For Her, you're not human.
That's true.
Mike, Homer's Barbershop Quartet, where else do you get George Harrison, a giant pile of brownies, and the human fly?
Yeah. Brownies.
Abby, we have Lisa's Sax. I love poor little kindergarten Bart. He's so sad until he learns his place. Gaspar, Lisa's first word. Unbelievable number of quotes from the episode. Domer, iron helps us play. And of course, can't sleep. Clown will eat me. God. Someone made that bed. Someone actually made the can't sleep, clown will eat me bed. Like, they recreated it. I'm like, it's so great. It's the most terrifying thing. Chris,
be able to sleep again.
Chris, gonna have to go with Behind the Laughter. The VH1 parody is a classic in my eyes. Love Homer Time and Willie Nelson patching things up with a family at a fake award show, as well as Sammy Hagar and Van Halen, by the way. Clip montage of Homer's injuries, subsequent addiction to painkillers. Also, while they're mentioned to live in Northern Kentucky in this episode, I've heard but not confirmed that the closed captions say Southern Missouri. And finally, our last answer, Kirsten. This is a really tough question since the flashbacks are my absolute favorite episodes. Has to be a tie between two episodes for me since they work so well together. And Maggie Makes Three, the end with Maggie's baby pictures in Homer's office, and the Do It For Her sign is a wonderfully sweet Simpsons moment at its absolute best. In Lisa's first word, love the introduction of Flanders with Wizard of Oz themed musical number, and of course, Maggie's first word being Daddy. Perfectly ties to Maggie Makes Three in the future, showing the bond between Maggie and Homer over the course of the show is a great touch. Matt, what's your answer? I'm curious.
I'm going to go unconventional as well and go with Rosebud, where we get to see
flashback
after flashback of Mr. Burns and Bobo. Like you said, it's kind of unconventional, but it's great to see a little bit of history through the eyes of The Simpsons.
I'm going to Maggie Makes Three. No, and Maggie Makes Three is that moment. It really grounds Homer. Like, the fact that Homer's had so many jobs, it's basically a joke now. It's not, I mean, it's been a joke for a long time, really. So, I mean, it's not even, like, I don't even think they even cater that anymore. Like, they don't even act like he has a job.
Yeah, he does whatever he wants.
Yeah, it's just whenever they need him to have a job. But at that point in the show, it was starting to get that way. Like, he was obviously Homer. Look, Homer has a different job this week. It really ties Homer to his blue collar existence and how he goes to work for his kids, for his family. And like, it shows how much he actually loves them, what he's willing to go through with to get his job back. And that collage. Oh my God. That might be my number one most heart touching moment in this entire show.
It's definitely up there. I put it at least top five.
Do Just... it for her.
Especially since it comes from "Don't forget, you're here forever," and it turns it into "Do it for her," and it's just like they said, if it doesn't break your heart, you're not human.
Yeah, it really shows that connection. It's so beautiful. Next week's question. This is a little interesting one, but I think it's a good one. I think it's actually a tough question. This is Homer versus Lisa in the Eighth Commandment. what is the best episode with verses in the title? There's a lot of them.
There really are.
More than a handful. And a lot of them are really good. Really tough ones. You guys, if you, a quick Google search will get you the episodes with verses in the title. I got like almost 10 just by doing like a quick Google search. And I'm sure you could find more if I really looked, but best episode with verses in the title and why? I post this question on all our social media. We can find us on Twitter at Simpsons Show Pod, on Facebook, as I mentioned before, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. You can email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. We like to hear from you guys. Please, we just crossed 200 followers on Twitter, or almost to 150 on Facebook. Like I said, our listeners are constantly posting really great stuff on there along. And every time I see something cool related to Simpsons, I try and pass it along as well. As well as links to all our new episodes and content, all that stuff as well. With that, it's time for the segment we end every week with. It's time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is the segment where we rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode and how good they are compared to one another. I would number 3 or 4, Matt, I think.
Damn it, that's what I was going to say. It's really hard to, you know, One Fish, Two Fish, Blowfish, Bluefish has a very similar, like, core moral, I don't even call it moral, but it's a very family-centered approach. You know, it is all about how they react to each other. It's very Homer-centered. I would probably say number 3, just because I really like this episode. I like the dream/hallucination sequences. I like the moralizing that Lisa goes through, because, again, Lisa is pretty much my favorite character. And I really appreciate the little bits that Phil Hartman does to just make it extra special.
It's tough. I don't know. I might have to say 4.
Really? Are we going to have to go out back and engage in some fisticuffs
no,
on this
no,
one?
No. We can talk it out. I just think, I don't know, they're very similar, like you said.
Yeah,
they and are. The ending, they're both, the endings, like, have gags, like, they're gag endings. I just think I think One Fish, Two Fish, Blowfish, Bluefish is, I don't know, overall stronger. Of course, that first act is a little weak.
Well, the first act is weak, and I feel like this episode, the Homer versus Lisa and the 8th Commandment, is solid throughout. There isn't really a spot where it lags at all. It's very tight, I would say, because you get the rise of Homer getting the cable, and then you plateau a little bit of what the cable has on their lives, and then it goes up a little higher and climaxes at the fight, and of course, you have Homer's complete devastation. And I really enjoy it because One Fish, Two Fish, Blowfish, Bluefish shows their character in the face of death and thing you can't control. But Homer vs. Lisa and the 8th Commandment really shows them overcoming themselves rather than something they can't control. And I think this is just a personal thing, but I think that shows them to be even more moral and ethical and stronger people than overcoming something you can't control.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to. I think it is a tighter episode overall, too. That first act is kind of, you know, they go out there, Japanese, yeah, karaoke, and which is a nice gag, but I still don't think it's not as tight as the episode could be. So, yeah, I think number 3. I think we can go number 3 for Homer versus Lisa in the 8th Commandment. Although, I do want to put this disclaimer out there, guys. This is how we feel at this particular moment. I could feel totally different tomorrow. If we argue about this tomorrow, I might argue differently.
That's absolutely true.
So I find myself thinking like, I wonder if I put, you know, Bart gets hit by a car too low, or Dead Budding Society too high, or Bart vs. Thanksgiving too low. Like, you know, on certain days, those episodes are better to me, and some certain days are not. And I think that's the way. I think that's, we're just at this moment. I think we are trying to be as quote unquote objective as possible, which is obviously almost impossible. With art is almost, it's impossibly subjective.
But, especially in something that's complex as a television show.
I mean, our most recent viewings really kind of color the way we think. And I mean, it's going to get to the point, like, especially in the next couple seasons, where it's going to be incredibly rough to compare.
Yeah. And I do also want to mention that none of these are bad. There's certain things we don't like about certain episodes, but the worst Simpsons episode, even Homer's Odyssey, I would take over a lot of other television.
Just remember, every episode of The Simpsons is still better than The Cleveland Show.
I don't think anyone would disagree with that. I mean, honestly, is there anyone on Earth who thinks that anything, any Simpsons is worse? But yes, yeah, so that will put Homer vs. Lisa Eighth Commitment at a new number 3, right below The Way We Was, right above One Fish, Two Fish, Blowfish, Bluefish. Still, we have Bart Gets an F at number 1, and still in last place, Homer's Odyssey, which is still better than any episode of The Cleveland Show. You can find this list on our website, which is thesimpsonsshow.com. Along with it, you will find every new episode, streaming, downloadable. You will find links to our Facebook, our Twitter, our RSS feed, if that's how you want to listen to us. You can contact us through there. You can also donate to the show if you wish. But yeah, check us out there. Really like it when people go to the site. Next week's episode is Principal Charming.
First real episode of Principal Skinner and really Patty and Selma.
These are really exciting episodes to me because we, after like the whole first season really just preoccupied on mostly the family, we're starting to see this world flesh out. It's really, we're watching the Simpsons universe kind of be born before our eyes as we're rewatching these episodes, and it's really interesting. So next week, Principal Charming. You can follow me on Twitter, see everything I get up to online. At Mixmaster Serial, it's MixmasterCreal. Matt does not participate in social media, so you won't find him.
That's true, but I am mildly psychic, so if you think really hard, especially if it's in like binary, I might get it. But you have to really believe. It's like fairies.
There are so many questions with all that. We're gonna let it go, fly off into the ether. But with that, I am Robbie,
and I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.
Do 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 do.
Shh.